My son didn't ever want to learn to be a mechanic or an engineer. He's totally not trained in that area. So he'd run out of gas in the tractor, and then, of course, he went, got some gas and put it in. Of course, these old tractors, you know, things old, and it's got settlement and stuff in the tank. And, of course, when he put the gas in, it stirred it up, and that all went down into the carburetor, and the needle hung open, and it started running over and all this. So he didn't know what to do, so he took the carburetor off. And when he took it off and put it back on, of course, he's a bodybuilder with arms about that big. And he doesn't understand little aluminum bodies with bolts, you know. And so he pulled stuff and stripped stuff. And took me all afternoon to fix what he tore up. If he'd have called me first, it would have took me 5 minutes to fix it. But anyway, the afternoon was filled with trials and tests. And praise the Lord, I finally got it all going. Just barely in time to come running in the house and take a shower and come to Bible study. So life's full of trials and tests, right, James? And you got four of these little critters, you know, these children to try to have to keep in line all these years. And what they don't learn, they'll have to depend on Dad. And I will have to say, when I went back over there and did get it running, I told him, I said, son, this is a good little tractor. It's a little old 8-in Ford. I said, maybe this winter we'll pull this in the shop and we'll jerk the engine out of it and we'll put a set of bearings and rings and, you know, overhaul it. And really, because I said, you'll need this in the future. He said, well, Dad, give me a week or two notice before you do that. I said, why? He said, because I want to help you do this. I said, oh, wow, you want to learn. He said, Dad, I've already realized this. If I know stuff like you do, it can not only save me money, but it can save me time. He said, if I'd had to call somebody today, if I hadn't had you, I'd had to call somebody to get this fixed. He said, this could have taken a lot more time. I said, yeah. I said, if you'd had to call a tractor place and they come out here and pulled it up on a truck, took it to the shop and fixed it and brought it back, you could have probably got by with $500, you know. So, and the way it was, it didn't cost me nothing but a few hours of time. It's amazing what you can do when you know how to do things. And so now then, he sees that. And he's wanting to learn how to do that. Now, of course, I was trying to explain to people up there in Soldotna, the little town we went to, that we try to fly our life or run our life in the Word of God, kind of like we try to live our life out here in the world around things we don't understand. There, my son was trying to fix a carburetor, which he didn't have a clue how it worked. He didn't know nothing about this thing. I mean, nothing. And so by not knowing anything about this thing, here he is trying to fix it. But what do you think the chances are of one of you, if you have no knowledge about a carburetor on a tractor, what do you think your chances are of fixing it? It's zero, isn't it? Well, see, and we got to be smart enough to know that. And so we got to be smart enough, like my son finally was, after he took it off and called Dad. You know, he knew I knew how to fix it. And for the first time in my life, when I took it off and began to show him, when we're taking it off, the two bolts that hold it in, they're coming out of the carburetor body now instead of off the top. And he said, Dad, when I took those off, the nuts came off the top. Why did they come out of the bottom? I said, because probably when you put them back in, you tightened them tight, didn't you? He said, well, yeah, I didn't want them to leak. And with an arm that big, you know, and a wrench this long, and he's tightening that tight into an aluminum body, what do you think it did down in there? It stripped it. That's right. It pulled the aluminum thread in there, and so it galled it. So, I mean, it just messed up everything. So I had to take everything to the shop, take all the stuff apart, rerun all the threads, fix everything to where it would work like it's supposed to, and then put it back together. So this is the way we do our life around the Word of God. You know, the tests that come to us every day, we handle the tests the best way we think we can, with the knowledge we have. And so much of the time we handle them wrong. You know, I mean, when it comes to, the Lord says, don't sin. How many of us have heard that sin brings forth death in the Word of God? You know, and we don't believe that. You know, I mean, just like, Dave, you and I know this better than most people in here, because we have studied this in depth, and so we're learning this more and more and more. And Dave, of course, he and I talk about this all the time, and we study together a lot. And he tells me, he said, you know, I don't know how I missed this. It's in every page of the book. Now that I've finally seen it, it's all over the place. But I made a statement up there on Sunday morning at the church, and I told a little bit about Terry and Frank's testimony about how her sin had made all three of their children sick, and it had killed three children, and because she had three miscarriages. And when it was over, there was one of the doctors came up, and he said, now, I heard you say this woman, due to her sin, had caused these three miscarriages. He said, Thurman, you know, that's very dangerous ground you're treading on there. I said, well, God said in His Word, if we obey Him in everything, there will not be one single barren or no miscarriages among us. So I said, we must have missed it somewhere. And he said, well, I don't see it like that. I said, well, all I can say is that's what God said. You know, now, any time that, especially a doctor, if a doctor sees someone sick, they very rarely will try to put it together that your sin is what made you sick. Isn't that right, Kim? I mean, almost nobody wants to go there. But we have learned, and I will have to say Dave and I have learned this all too well, because we have learned the consequences when we do something wrong, we immediately see the results. In fact, Dave told me the other day, he said, I told him, I said, you were sure nice to your mother-in-law this trip. I said, you were so nice to her. You know what he told me? He said, I ain't going to be sick when my mother-in-law goes home this time. You learned a good lesson, didn't you, Dave? Yeah. But see, the thing about it is, he knew that the last time he went up there, and at the first of the time, he got out of love, and it took him 2 or 3 days to get over it. But before he left, he got out of love, and it took us all a couple of months to pray it off of him when he got back the second time. So he ain't going there no more. Or at least, that's kind of like that scripture that says in Psalms 119:67. What does 119:67 say? What does it say, Lisa? Oh, okay. Let's look at that right quick. Dave will put it on the screen for us here. Before I was afflicted. Uh-oh. It was there, and now it's gone. Psalms 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But look what it says after that. But now have I kept your word. I mean, isn't that amazing that God would put that in there like that? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And also he said in Proverbs 26:2, no curse comes upon us undeserved. What he's trying to say, we do not get a spanking unless we deserve it. Now, I'm going to have to tell you, I'm really going to tell you that if we got what we deserved, we couldn't handle it. If we got what we deserved, we could not handle it. It's a good thing that we remember the mercy of God. Just like I was telling y'all the other day, some of y'all in a healing school up here, I said, when little William, that guy from England, when his withered hand got healed. I mean, it's either 7 or 8 years. I can't ever remember which one. There was a 7 and an 8. I know either 7 years before his arm was broken in 8 places or 8 years before his arm was broken in 7 places. I don't remember which way it was. But one way or the other, he was really messed up. And for 7 or 8 years there, he had had his arm grow back together. But when it did, it had pulled his hand like this. He could not open it. And he hadn't for either 7 or 8 years. And that night, 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, when he came to a church over in North Richland Hills, I was teaching at that night, and I touched him in the name of Jesus, our King, just whoosh, opened that hand instantly right before all of our eyes. I looked at that, You know, I was as shocked as... You know that you can't do things for God, even when you're doing them in faith, without being shocked when the king shows up. You know, because if he gave me what I deserved, he would have never have done that for me. Because I wasn't worthy of that. I was worthy of having my hand like that because of the different sins I'd committed in my life. But God is so merciful to us in all of our stupidity, and that he healed William's hand. And then, of course, the next day, I was so awestruck. I, of course, talked to him at night for a couple hours and found out his name was William and everything. He's from England, and he told me what happened and everything else. And so I found out what his address was. He didn't live far from that church. And so the next day, I was just thought, I'll run by and see William a few minutes. So I went over to his little apartment, a little bitty tiny, I mean, really a humble little tiny one-bedroom apartment that he lived in. I mean, it was not nothing nice at all. It was a real cheap little apartment, probably all he could afford, but he lived very humble. And I knocked on the door, and he said, "Come in." And I opened the door and walked in, and there sat William with his legs crossed right in the middle of the bed, saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." You know, and I still remember that, and I thought, "Lord, when's the last time I told you thank you that I can open mine?"
Yesterday morning.
Amen.
I thought about that.
You thought about that very story, did you, James? I mean, don't we take that for granted?
Yes.
Oh, we take a lot for granted. Oh, do we ever? Oh, it's a whole lot easier to grumble over things that we don't have than to praise him for what we do have. But you know, after... Oh, that's Proverbs 26, too. But that other one... When I think about after I went astray, I was afflicted. I think, "Lord, I don't want to go astray. I do not want to go astray. I want to love you. I want to worship you. I want to walk in obedience to your word." It ain't fun being sick. It's not fun being sick. And all of us, I mean, if we ever get sick, it's too often, isn't it? Nobody likes to be sick. And I don't like it either, but I've had too much of it in my life, and I have been wonderfully blessed the last 20-something years, almost 23 or 4 or 5 years now, to have virtually no sickness and disease. But like I've told you before, here just a couple of weeks ago, I had the closest thing to having a couple of bad days I've had in 25 years.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.